Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
How are things going, man?
Going well.
Going well?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
That's wonderfully well. The intensity of those conversations is just amazing.
I know, it's overwhelming.
It is definitely. It takes me a while to absorb them all. Also, Stephen Kolesiewski.
Well, hello, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully well.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting off-the-record platform joke, wasn't it? I can talk about the country folks that went out there.
Yes, right. Yes. I just got like my... Yeah. Just, yes. Hey.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and VFN radio audience around the nation, around the world, and on the Gulf Coast. If you missed our last program, you have got to, you're going to be so encouraged.
Yes.
There's nothing like, you get encouraged when you hear Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speak at the United Nations going like, oh, yes, I remember good leadership. That was great. Oh, my goodness. Good, godly leadership. And then you hear this particular Muslim out of Canada, she's speaking, and her name is Raza, and she's president of the Council of Muslims Facing Tomorrow, and she just tells it, this is what we got to do to keep Canada safe, and you'll be really encouraged that there is sanity and there's normalcy, and that and she's in support of the Prime Minister of Canada, and they just went through this huge attacks. And we're going to be talking about in this program, more in the context of, how is this thing coming to pass? Because right now, Fox News is reporting that the Department of Homeland Security is beefing up security in all of our federal buildings. Why? Because that is the outcome of trying to be politically correct and constitutional in regards to how we allow things to happen, in our nation. So we'll be hearing that as well. And we're going to be talking about, according to Jeffrey Goldberg with The Atlantic, he's been writing down the list of names that our President's White House has been calling the Prime Minister of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and I'm just shocked, the fruit of that, you see, like, there's no respect for Israel, there's no biblical perspective of Israel, and you just see them just being poked at and threatened, and things that we've talked about before. Secretary of State going on. You see both Secretary of State, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, when she went into Morsi to discuss Gaza, who was being funded by, Iran and the Muslim Brotherhood's militant arm, Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, all these different variations of just the radical Islamic situation. And for the purpose of a Levant, and a caliphate. And as she said in our previous program, Rael, she said that their ultimate goal is to take over the West and the world. So she goes, no, in no way do I agree with that. And she is a Muslim. Yeah. And she says there needs to be reformation in that movement. Either way, I am just shocked and think about holistically, when it's that we sometimes we just forget everything we know to this point. And we hear the latest thing that's going on, and that's all we talk about. And that's where these Alinsky methodologies and rules for radicals and those guys who know how to use systems and methods to move a mass amount of people in a direction they want to go, they just focus on the most recent thing instead of thinking, how did we get here? And how do we stay here? Or how do we turn back from here? And we have an entire series on, children of the night, organizers of the night versus organizers of the day. This is a rhema word the Lord had given over this thing called Rules for Radicals and Saul Alinsky, and that's there available for you on the VFN Torch. If you learn this, you'll realize this is all that's going on. And part of the 13 rules is ridicule. You have to ridicule your opponent. You have to isolate them, polarize everybody against the situation, and you have to begin to ridicule them. So when you see the local bully ridiculing someone in a school, and the devil's got a hold of him, and he's trying to bring division, and all of a sudden the whole classroom's divided. Next thing you know, he's got a roll of duct tape in his hand, a tricycle, French doors. You don't know what the future is going to hold.
Kids are running down Second Street.
Yeah, duct tapes can be used for, anyway, no, we're just talking about Second Street. But seriously, so then, and so what you're saying, they, according to Jeffrey Goldberg, on October 28th in his article, he writes that the president, he's keeping a red hot list of, a hot list of all the names that they've called the prime minister of Israel. And just the last thing they just called him is chicken, and I can't tell you the last part of that, but chicken poop. You can't do that to Israel. You can't poke your finger. You cannot ridicule Israel and think that you're not going to mm-hmm. suffer deeply because mm-hmm. of that. This is the leader of our country. This is our country. This is the White House. It was, I don't think it was our president doing it. It's this White House they're reporting. But they have name after name that they've been calling him. But the finally, it's like trying to provoke you. And that's what this whole thing is. And we talked about, it's called Don't Swing. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we can learn a lot from Dr. King, who I believe is was an apostle. And he was able to stay faithful to the Constitution and faithful to God, you know, in view of his mercy, and lead us to the original tent God had for this nation. Mm-hmm. And he didn't swing. He just didn't swing, but he was so powerful that today, even at 30 years old, I believe, but he was 30 years old when he had, when the enemy had taken him, mm-hmm. the assassination. And we have to learn from that and understand that's what they want Israel to do, is they want Israel to swing, because you got all these mm-hmm. radicalized Arab Spring nations now. You have, what is that drug that they, meth lab, right? You have a meth lab in Iran, you know, it's not a meth lab, but it's a nuclear lab, mm-hmm. and they're cooking up meth that's going to, you know, spiritually speaking, they got a nuclear, and they're just moving forward with their nuclear. No longer is that even part of the conference. They changed the narrative, as you do in those kind of tactics, to, you know, it's Gaza firing into Israel. And, you know, so you had the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, mm-hmm. Hamas, in Gaza, firing missiles continually. You think, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, if Israel could just wipe you off the face of the earth. And it's like, they wanted to change the narrative so you're no longer thinking about the meth lab in Iran.
Right.
And the only word that has yet to come to pass of the 33 words, I believe it was, and you could hear them on the VFN Torch from Jim Baker, was nuclear material was found in Israel. Nuclear material was found there. Some of the words from John Paul Jackson is that he gave over the perfect storm, and you can find those also on the VFN Torch, was, you know, Israel's going to respond so hard and so powerfully. The question that people are going to ask, do they have anything left? Mm-hmm. God, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You heard about, you know, 7 months to bury the bodies, 7 years to burn the weapons. You heard about that, you know, I believe Psalms 33 is coming into focus and all these different things. But the biggest thing is going on. Our president said some time back, and we talked about this, and you can see this in the VFN Torch related link, hopefully, that that Israel needs to go back to the 1967 borders. And that's just undefensible. It's undefensible. Matter of fact, we have for you in just a moment, we're going to show you a schematic, a graphic video to be able to explain these things, and talking about the valleys, the Jordan Valley, talking about how high the mountains are and why you have to have the airspace over the Western Bank, and pay attention to each of these things. They're saying we have to have these things. If we don't have security over those things and control over those things, then this is what's going to happen to us. Mm-hmm. But first, we're seeing, while this is going on in Canada, we talked about an earlier program where they're being attacked by the radical Islam's happening there. They're standing up against it. We are preparing as we speak. As a matter of fact, take a look right now. This is Fox News reporting that we're having to beef up our security because at federal buildings, because we are setting up and protecting ourselves for the same thing expected to happen. Listen up. Watch.
It's old news. And now here we are. That was less than a week ago. And now here we are raising the threat level. Your thoughts?
Well, Megan, look, I mean, there is a sequence of events here that makes this all make a certain kind of sense. I mean, we had the attack at the Canadian Parliament last week in which a soldier was killed. And then subsequent to that, or at least in the same chain of events with that, is we have this attack on the two police officers standing on the street. Terrorist organizations consider election times a good opportune times to do something big. You could argue here, Megan, that this is all, you know, a little late, but it doesn't really seem inappropriate to, you know, raise the alert, I should say, at government buildings. The general alert is not being raised, apparently. It's mm-hmm. it's just at government buildings. So, I mean, you could argue this is a half measure, that they should be a more general raising of the alert after all these events are kind of frightening. Mm-hmm. So, I think we all of us who have watched this whole administration response to terrorism in general have concluded that the administration has been loath to respond very much to these things for fear of interfering with their kind of favored narrative, which is that, you know, Al-Qaeda is on the run and that the tide of war is receding and all of the rest of that. And of course, when these things happen, they fight that. And if the administration then responds to them, I guess they feel that further fights their narrative. But I mean, I don't see any reason to criticize this on its face unless you want to make the argument that they should have done it, you know, 3 or 4 days earlier.
Well, what I'm asking is about Ed's point, which is the senior official who's saying this is a CYA. Let me just outline it for you, because what we've seen, as he laid out, is the Defense Department saying this is ICE is a threat. It's an immediate threat. And the White House saying, no. And then we get the FBI bulletin saying they're after us. They're going to go after law enforcement. And Josh Earnest saying they're a general threat. It's a general issue, not to worry. Then we start to see executions, and now suddenly it's, maybe we ought to raise the threat level.
Well, there's also apparently an increase in the chatter, which always makes officials nervous. Look, CYA means cover your backside. Well, imagine now if no alert were issued here, right? No alert of any kind, and something happened at or near a U.S. government building. The administration would be upbraided for failing to do something just like this. So, I mean, yeah, they may be covering their butts, and in some ways, sometimes that's what you ought to do. I mean, I can see how people would criticize them for being too slow, but I don't see a problem with this measure specifically.
Well, I don't think that's what the criticism is that about the measure. It's a question of the timing and whether this is an admission that has come a little late in the process, given the warnings we heard from Chuck Hagel, from General Dempsey, from ISIS itself, as administered through the FBI bulletin.
Well, that's what I say. You could argue that it's too late, or that it's a half measure, but no, that's a point of view that I think a lot of people hold, that the administration has been slow on these things, and arguably slow on this one as well.
Rick, good to see you.
Thanks.
So you're looking at the threat level's being raised. We just saw, by the way, Canada touches America, so we have our southern border with Mexico, and what's happening with Texas is pouring in. Mm-hmm. We have the radicalization of the heartland that we talked about already. We have the radicalization of taking place in Canada that mm-hmm. was just spoken about in our previous program. We have the threat level rising and our government buildings being protected. Notice they're coming after authority. And we get back from the break, we'll talk about this. Understand, in the beginning, one of the parts of the beginning of this thing was when Israel was told to go back to its 1967 borders. By doing that, according to Chuck Pierce out of Corinth, Texas, Zion Ministries said that America now will have to go back to the 60s. Mm-hmm. We will go back to the 60s. And it's interesting, 67, 68, and 69. We'll talk more about that when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
Everyone is not called to foster and adopt, but everyone is called to care.
Caring for children in foster care isn't an option. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Bishop Aaron Blake says it's important for you and me to step up and care.
The state is not meant to be parents. And thank God for the state. And every social worker out there that's involved with the state, we just thank God for them.
And pray for them.
And pray for them. But now is the time and the role for the church, for families to say, well, if God said that he is a defender of the orphan, if God said that he would put children in families, then maybe our family could consider.
There are some great ways that you can get involved in making the difference in the life of a foster care child. Hear more from Bishop Aaron Blake today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Go back to the 1967 borders. That's what the president was saying early on, that Israel needed to go back to. So we have to, you know, what does that mean? I mean, you know, we're Americans. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. The border? Is that like you get a burger from the borders? That? Is that something happens? Is that the Texas border? Well, there's amazing, so many things to be able to understand here. And the 67 borders were the border lines, northeast, southwest border lines of Israel in 1967. And they were attacked in 1967 because these are undefensible borders. So when somebody tells you, you know, you've got to put your gun down, you've got to get rid of your bulletproof vest and stand in the presence of all these guns, you'll say something like, that's an undefensible position. I'm going to be dead. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So when somebody tells Israel, the apple of God's eye, about the land of God, the ultimate judgment that's going to come to all nations, you know, what are you going to do with the land of Israel? That, you have to give up more land and change your border back to the 1967. Well, understand the reason why it's bigger than the 1967 borders was because they got attacked. And so what they did, they literally took over mostly their original, what truly is their land. And then they gave it back. They gave it back to a certain area that they knew that was defensible. One is the Jordan. When you hear about the Jordan River, it's like 1,000 feet up. And if you go down, your tanks would have to go down and come over 1,000 feet to come up. The mountains are like thousands. It's brilliant. I mean, God just is. But they're going to talk about the Jordan, how difficult it is, that why that is the eastern border. They're going to talk about the mountains, why those are the border. And they're going to talk about why they have to have air power over the West Bank. So watch this. It's just 5 minutes, but this will give you some insight when you're hearing people talk about the 1967 borders. And this article with The Atlantic, given by Jeffrey Goldberg on October 28th, talks exactly about this. The one that they called the prime minister chicken poop. And it is just crazy what's going on right there. It is Zelensky 101, but they're trying to organize Israel, and it just don't, you can't do that. Watch this now. Learn about watch the Jordan, watch the mountains, and watch the air over the West Bank.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
That is so explanatory. And this is available for you right here on VFN TV. And it's, you know, we're making this and having this discussion because of our partners and because of our sponsors who stand with us. We have to stand with Israel. And our president is saying they need to go back to the 67 lines. What does that mean? Look what it means. It means we want to destroy you. We want to push Israel. They will be interpreted this way. We want to push Israel into the sea. That's the that's the chant of radical Islam and Islam. And they want a caliphate. Part of the caliphate means the Quran is the law and everything's ran under that, and have Sharia law, which is doing away with every nation that doesn't do that. And that's just not going to happen. God's going to stand for Israel, but understand our country saying that to them. One of the strongest nations in the world. And some of that article from The Atlantic written by Jeffrey Goldberg, remember this, 1967, Chuck Pierce prophesies out of Corinth, Texas, Zion Ministries, that because he made that public declaration, we will go back to the 60s. We will go back ourselves. And it's interesting what happened in 1967, because he said, you go back to the 67, then we go back to 67. We'll be talking in the future about these people who voted in Florida. They voted that they want to split Florida. Well, it may never physically split, but the day that they voted to do that is the day it did split spiritually. And it gave almost, I would say, a glory zone, which God's been speaking to us about, of people who are standing up for the Lord.
Right.
And the original tent of the nation. But in this article, he writes, you know, Goldberg writes, well, back from the break, we will have more about this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us. He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So Goldberg in The Atlantic, he's talking in this article, and he's writing, in addition to saying that our president's White House is calling names, calling the prime minister terrible names. One of them is chicken poop, you know, and that's not what the word is. But understand, that's part of ridicule and the Alinsky tactics, which he taught for 4 years, reportedly, and worked for. He was mentored in some way by Saul Alinsky. But he writes in his article that the Obama administration's anger is red hot over Israel's settlement policies, and that Netanyahu's government openly expresses contempt for Obama's understanding of the Middle East. Profound changes in relationship may be coming. So he's saying, you know, how we're somewhat standing up for Israel right now. And he's writing his article that, like, hey, there's going to be a shift. And then he goes on to say, he says, the other day, I was talking to a senior Obama administration official about the foreign leaders who seem to be frustrated with the White House and the State Department the most. The thing about Bibi is he is chicken poop. Bibi is the nickname for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is what he says. This particular White House State Department said the thing about Bibi is he's chicken poop. This official said, referring to Israel's prime minister by his nickname. Over the years, Obama's administration officials have described Netanyahu to him, he says, with, and he gives this whole long list of negative names, you know, pompous, blustering, obtuse, I mean, myopic. I mean, just, they're ridiculing, and this is part of the Alinsky tactic, but you have to understand, this is not your father's Oldsmobile you're organizing here. This is Israel, the apple of God's eye. And it's not good. You can't do that. And America's leaders are doing that. So no matter how strong we are, understand that God can he is humbling us, but he can seriously give us an adjustment. Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, he sees, based on what he's hearing from the Lord and seeing, that 2015 is going to be a year of great turmoil. And our president says that you need to go back to the 1967 lines. And so we talked about what that means. But Chuck Pierce said that means we're going to go back to the 1960s. Well, look at 1967 alone. We're in the middle of Vietnam War. We're already got our feet in another country, just like it was with Vietnam. They would say over and over again, we talked about this in the Pink Room and how that all happened. You can hear about Vietnam. But they would say, no boots on the ground. We're not going to put any boots on the ground. We're having the same conversations. But this ended up with hundreds of thousands of people dying. Two-thirds of Americans going to war reportedly were drafted. They didn't choose to go. They were like, you're going to war. You know, within 8 weeks, you're in the jungles of Vietnam. And this happened during a great rebellious time in America when all of a sudden the 60s was going on. And so we're going to go back to the 60s. What happened in the 60s? Well, we had an assassination of President John F. Kennedy. We had an assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had an assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy was running for president. And Dr. Martin Luther King and Senator Robert Kennedy, within 4 months of each other, were assassinated. We had the marriage was being turned upside down. We had the groundwork for abortion and Roe versus Wade being laid. We had everything was in uproar. The pill was out now since the 50s, late 50s. So now it came into the 60s, and you had the sexual revolution where, you know, sex no longer produces children, so you can have as much as you want. Then it did produce children. So then they said, we got to find some way to end the consequences of sex. They called it a consequences. Our president even said, I wouldn't want my daughter to have an unwanted pregnancy. Talked about it in a way that it would be a negative thing to be having a child early on in his administration. And so abortion became the answer to that. In other words, how can we sin and not and still continue to have the lust of our flesh? And so what happened in the 60s? Well, 1967, just if we just go to the 1967, what is yet to happen in 67, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is still with us. Robert Kennedy's still with us. We're in the middle of the Vietnam War. In other words, we're in a foreign land in war. Boots now are on the ground. We are recruiting. We are drafting people to go into the war. And I'm telling you, you can ask those around me. You can ask my own children. I said, listen, if these things don't turn, you're potentially going to see a draft, and you're going to see your feet in the ground in the Middle East. Because it's, you have to understand, it's not something we plan to do. It's consequences of what happens to us because of our rebellion against God. Right. You can't say, well, we'll never do that. And God says, if you won't quail, I'll give it to you. It's coming out your nose.
That's right.
You know, I just want this much quail. And it's like, no, I'm going to give you this much quail. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Remember, because Israel wanted quail when they were in the wilderness. But in 1967, over 11,153 Americans were killed in Vietnam in 1967. In 1968, 16,589 Americans were killed. So just those 2 years alone, you're looking at like 37,000 Americans were killed. What did we just hear in an earlier program from this Muslim lady who's saying, we got to take a stand, and we're going to wait for 30,000 people to be killed before we take the kind of stand we have to have to be able to protect Canada, she was talking about. And she says that's what's going to happen. And so going back to 1967 or 1960s, the 67 alone, we're looking at these things that took place, what laid the groundwork for what we have 55, 56 million abortions that happened in America since then. Prior to that, it was illegal. So what are we going to open the doors to when our president says, you know, we need to go back to the 1967 lines? And so we've been talking about this, and we're kind of bringing it together because the last part of Goldberg's article in The Atlantic, he writes this, and he's talking about after the elections coming up in a couple of days, next week. He says, based on what he's heard them talk about Israel and their plans and their anger, the red-hot anger with Israel, he says, it would also be unsurprising post-November to see the Obama administration take a step Netanyahu is loathing to take place, a public full laydown of the administration's vision for the two-state solution, including the maps saying that Israel's borders are this, presently accepting it. These borders to Netanyahu are horror borders, 1967. It would be based on the 1967 lines, with a significant West Bank settlement block attached to Israel in exchange for swapping land elsewhere. Such a laydown would be an explicit to Israel and be something that the U.S. probably would expect. In other words, here it is. This is what we've been talking about. This is articles written October 28th. He's saying, after these elections, are you wondering why gas is 25 cents a gallon? You know, I'm kind of exaggerating. Are you wondering why? Because you just pick up the phone and call, you know, ISIL, you know, the caliphate, the spring. Say, hey, guys, turn the price down for a little bit. That's where the oil's coming from. You've got oil coming from America. They're talking about American oil, but they tried to kill that. You just call. I mean, this is the Muslim Brotherhood. Hey, chat with some of the guys over there and just let them have to be the guys, by the way, because they're not going to let the women be in a place of leadership over there.
Right.
And it lowers down. I mean, this is huge to have that kind of gas prices. And understand, when he first came into office, the president said gas prices are going to rise. And guess what? They were higher than they've ever been in years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know what happened. But something happened. If all of a sudden it's dropping down to $2.75 a gallon, all of a sudden, I mean, they're waiting and doing everything they can do to get as much as they can get before what they're about to do after these elections coming up. And this, I have to tell you, I truly don't believe that, you know, we get this great Congress who's for, you know, and it could, I mean, things could turn. But the hope is not in a man. The hope is in all of us getting right before God and say, God, we've sinned. We've done what's wrong. Because what's based on what we're seeing, you know, America's going to make it through this, but it's going to be a different America. It's going to be a rough time coming around 2015, potentially right after this election. And we already see the position of our president and the White House towards Israel in the face of God, you know, and you know, those who bless Israel, I'll bless, but those who curse Israel, I will curse. There is no other stipulation to that. All these presidents in the past that you hear a lot of Christians support, you know, and they've been some good presidents, mm-hmm. but they've made some serious mistakes towards Israel. And as soon as they did that, mm-hmm. when these five hurricanes hit Florida, that was about the same time that George W. Bush, I believe, President George W. Bush, was making some sort of two-plan solution with Condoleezza Rice. Mm-hmm. When his father was doing something, the same situation, they had, you know, Kenny Bunkport, Maine, his mansion got hit and mm-hmm. got destroyed. This is way worse than that. I mean, we've done some serious, we've organized the Middle East. As a matter of fact, our president said, the Middle East needs to be organized. Their world needs, we need to organize them. And that's his technique. He knows how to do that. And when you see Hillary Clinton involved in that, understand they both are mentored. They were mentored by Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. They understand. She wrote her graduate paper on Rules for Radicals, on Saul Alinsky's methods of doing things. Not the book Rules for Radicals. She wrote it strictly on, you know, organizing in Saul Alinsky's way. And we have a personal letter. We're just cutting. It got so much going on. It's the only reason we haven't brought it up yet and put it on the torch or made it available to you. But, you know, she writes a personal letter to Saul Alinsky saying, you know, has the revelation happened? You know, that I'd like to get together and argue with you and talk back and forth. This is our present leader today and our potential leader tomorrow, lest we repent, are children, spiritual children, I guess you would, or mentored children of Saul Alinsky. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dear Lord, you know, forgive us, help us. And I really believe that the church is going to awake. We're going to begin to follow the Lord. The kingdom of God is going to begin to be in the men's hearts of men. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a good thing, but it's going to be a rough time. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
And there's one thing about my family. We've always had the ability to laugh at the most inappropriate times. But it's like, you know, that's when you need to laugh. I mean, not that we're, you know, we're not being, you know, it's just like, I guess it could be nervous laughter or something. They're probably all laughing right now. They're listening. It's just, it's like, this is not the time to laugh. And we're looking at each other like, but I'm about to laugh. I don't know what it is. You
I'm
know?
About to lose
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I remember my dad and I were carrying a piece of furniture years ago. And, you know, and I was young and dad's serious. That's serious.
Oh, yeah.
And I was probably hard to understand because I was a sanguine type personality. You know, just,
are you really?
Everything's funny.
Who
I think
is
so.
This son of mine here.
You have a Duke of Earl. I'm son of Zerl. And so we're carrying this thing down. And it's heavy. It's crushing. This thing's a heavy thing. I don't know if it's down the stairs or we're carrying it somewhere. And I just started laughing. And that was very inappropriate. I probably would have been, you know, if that Jerry would have done it, I would have been the same.
And he's, dropped it on him.
He's looking at me like, oh my goodness, this is my son.
We get done with this, and we have
yeah. And it's just like, but it was inappropriate. I don't know where that comes from. We were actually no, I don't talk about that. But it was just, we had a lot of officers, you know, when I used to be in law enforcement, you have wear a lot of leather. You have like leather belts and leather keepers, and I mean, everything's leathery. And so when you move, it squeaks or makes noises. And so we were sitting at a funeral, and they put us all behind a wall, a lot of deputies behind this wall, kind of like a makeshift wall, vented looking thing where people, we could see what was going on, but they couldn't see us. But we were there, and it was wide open. It was just a visual blocking behind this wall. I mean, you put like, you know, 20 deputies, you know, in a room, but they can't see them. And all you hear is this. And this whole leathery sound is just echoing in this whole place. It's this moment, reverent moment you're having here. And as I looked at, I'm not going to name names. And we're just like, oh, be still. And you just couldn't be still. And the leather just cut. And it's like, oh my goodness, we are going to laugh. This is not good, you know.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So when you hear things, and you might not even hear the words 1967 lines anymore, now you understand that that means the Six-Day War that Israel had to have to be able to defend herself. The landmass that she actually acquired during that is bigger than she actually needed. She gave a lot of that land, most of it back, and all she kept was that slither of land with the Jordan Valley, the mountain range. I mean, 60, 70% of the population is on the other side of that mountain range, 80% of all their industry and their businesses over there, and it's just undefensible. And it's right now it's 44 miles at its waistline. And to go back, what they're talking about, potentially it's only 9 miles wide at the waistline.
That's crazy.
And it's amazing now that they're able to defend this thing. But I mean, you can see why these defensible borders and the United Nations, remember, you saw it. It was highlighted that you have a right to defend yourself and to have defensible borders. And that's all they're doing. And when people are coming in saying, we want that land, they're saying, we want to violate the United Nations agreement that said that you need defensible borders. But outside of all that, you know, don't mess with Israel. You know, she's a small state. It's the apple of God's eye. And if you look at it truly, it's a lot bigger than it really is. And they're even asking for it right now. And there's a coming land grab, as Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, we had on one of his segments talking about that. That's coming. It's coming into focus for all of a sudden from the rivers, you know, to the oceans. It's going to be back, you know, in the coming land grab. I don't know if you, and so we're getting back to this kind of breaks your heart moment, you know, about a young man. He's 13 years old. His name is Ethan Hallmark. And you've heard the I Am Second, right?
Yeah.
The I Am Seconds. And
powerful.
If you haven't heard that yet, it's a perfect way to be able to share testimonies with people from different viewpoints of how they met the Lord and what their life was like before, how they met God and what it's like afterwards. And in that, there was this one young man that he filmed I Am Second. He was diagnosed with a particular cancer, 13, you know, young, and now he's 13 years old and he's filming this. And he's just a typical young man. And they're actually going to do a documentary on him. I think it's called the Ethan Hallmark story.
Oh.
Because what you're about to see, he didn't realize that in 73 days, he would be with the Lord. His life would be over. Watch Ethan and let's learn.
I used to play baseball a lot. Used to be pretty much addicted to it. I guess I kind of wanted to be a doctor from the beginning. Anything little kids look up to. When we got to the hospital, my stomach hurt so bad they gave me morphine, and I don't really remember anything after that because I was out. They did the biopsy and they found out it was stage 4 neuroblastoma. Didn't really know what that was. I knew it was cancer, but I didn't really know what cancer was either, but I knew it was bad, but I didn't know how bad.
He's got a tumor behind his heart. The same tumor wraps up his spine. My child's bones are breaking.
Your whole body feels like it's on fire. It feels like you're laying on a bed of nails.
He couldn't breathe. And he's screaming so loud. Saying, stop, stop.
There's no more baseball, no more school. It was awful.
I've been to doctors in New York, Boston, San Francisco, Houston. And every single one of them says my son's gonna die.
Of course I wanna live. Who doesn't? I mean, obviously I wanna beat this disease, but I'm not gonna be that sad if I don't.
My son said, I know I'm in a lot of darkness right now, but I've come to learn that the greatest amount of darkness, just the smallest amount of light, will overcome it.
You sort of have these moments when you ask God, and Why my son? You know, why can't you use this in a different way?
So when Ethan was filming this documentary for I Am Second, this movie, this one I'm about to show you, he didn't realize that he had 73 days left. No matter what you tell yourself, you don't know if you all you have is 73 days left. You don't know if your children only have 73 days left. Or are you telling them about eternity? Are you telling them about God and the plans of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, that they can be with you? See, Ian knew the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so he's able to deal with life's difficulties and struggles, but also knowing that in this life, if he didn't succeed at this physical battle that he won, he would be with God. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear Ian in his own words. It's just a minute, but listen, you should not delay in making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You should not delay in witnessing and telling your spouse and your children or your parents about God and your neighbor about God. Everybody, somebody only has a few hours left. Ian had 73 days that he didn't know left. Watch.
I mean, obviously, I want to beat this disease, but I'm not going to be that sad if I don't. I mean, I'm not going to say heaven's a pretty good place. Heaven's a perfect place. Of course, I want to live a long life on Earth. Who doesn't? I want to watch my sister and brothers go to middle school with me, go to high school, watch them graduate. Even I want to graduate. I mean, it's not really my plan, though.
73 days later, the perfect place that he talked about, he went to go be with the Lord. We have all these things going on, and we're talking about things all the time, but the most important thing we want to tell you about is what Ian just told us about. It's appointed once to die. We don't know when it is. Only a fool in his heart says he has tomorrow. This is what Jesus said. This is what James writes about too. He says, listen, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You say, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. So this one man says, that he begins to give a description to, he says, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to build bigger barns, I'm going to get bigger this, bigger that. And little did he know tomorrow that his life would be called. Like Ian, his days would be over. With all this radical death and Ebola and militant whatever, and people are dying, soldiers are dying. Sometimes just life hits you and you die. And life ends here on earth. But you know what? It begins. We all are going to live for eternity. The question is, are we going to live with Ian Hallmark in heaven before God in the presence of the Lord, where there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease. There's no cancer. He was instantly healed in the presence of God. Are we going to live separate from God in a place where he described as there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? It's appointed once to die and then the judgment. Let's make the same decision. Let's say, Ian, I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can find out more about how we did it at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster
is a witness to those who don't know God. He says it's a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?